also here, if you are a new person, one of the things that is in that church news, which I hope that you've actually captured, is the new people dinner, like the welcome dinner. If you have been in one of those, you would be, you could attest the fact that it's a fun night and lots of food and connection. And so if you are new this morning and you would like to come, actually, not you would like, I encourage you to come and go to our Ask Me desk and register your details there. It's going to be fun. And so you also get a letter from me and say, please come, and that'll be a good thing. And it's always nice to have new people in the house and new people to welcome. And so that's a new thing as well. We've got the young adults, lawn balls, okay, I can't pronounce that. But yes, see Renee and Brad if you need more information. What else is coming up that you didn't capture there is the young families connect, with Candace and Richard over there. So please, if you have young families, I encourage you. It's always a great time of connection, and they're just amazing at what they do. So please go and see them. And I think there's some ladies' breakfast. So anything you need to know is on our website. So always go there as a point of reference. And that's a great thing. Well, this morning I'm here to share God's word with you. And Pastor Tony sends his love. He's in Tasmania ministering at Gateway Church with Pastor Mark von Blankensee. And then apparently it's a 1 degree over there at the moment. Who loves the cold? I don't like the cold. In any hint of cold, I am rugged up to the hilt. And you, as short as I am, or you probably won't be able to see me already, but yeah, I'm rugged up. And just a few days of that. I don't think I could ever live in Tasmania or Alaska or anything like that. Not that we can travel overseas, but yes, that's a good thing. Well, Pastor Tony sends his love to you, and hopefully he'll be back tomorrow with his flight delay because of what's happening in Melbourne at the moment. And let's pray for them, hey. Like, this is just ongoing battle all the time, and, you know, it's just disheartening. But, you know, God is still in control. God is still in control. Well, this morning, I just really want to share that God is doing something. He's up to something. And all through this week, I've been praying about what God would have me share with you this morning. And it's been a real challenge. It's been a struggle. And because I'm a sort of person that likes to be in control, that wants to be able to know that, hey, God, what is it that you want me to speak to your people today? And I believe God is just wanting to reshape, reconstruct, deconstruct, realign, renew, revive, refresh, whatever you want to call it, his church. And his church is you. His church is you. He wants to realign you. He wants to recalibrate you. He wants to revive you. He wants to put life back into you. And he's using this time and moment to just get back to the life God intended us to have in him. You know, it says in the Bible that in him we live and move and have our being. He wants that. He wants total dependence. And he's using this moment to remind us of his pattern and his purpose once again. God shaking and stirring us for his purpose. And I can see that in our pastors. And yeah, and there's something going on. There's a shift that's going on in the hearts of our people. He's creating a hunger for more. You know, this morning, what I shared with our team at pre-service prayer is that it's not the building he wants to fill. It's your heart. He wants it all along. It's not the building, but it's your heart. It's this empty space. And God loves empty spaces because when it's empty, he can fill it with his spirit. He can fill it anew. You know when you, I don't know whether you sort of had a jug or something, and I was going to put it here this morning. But just imagine that there's this jug, and that's a vessel. You are His vessel, and that's your heart. And throughout all the week and throughout the months, you had something in your heart, and it's just filling up and filling up, full of worries, full of the life, full of anxiety, full of whatever it is. And then God just wants to fill it afresh, because He can't fill something that's full of whatever is in there. And so God is speaking to us this morning that He wants to fill you afresh with His Holy Spirit. With His Holy Spirit. He can't fill us if you keep putting the lid back on. And sometimes when there's some things in our lives, we want to take control, right? We want to take control of those things. And there are things that you can't control. There are things that have happened this week that we can't control. But God is in control. And when we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, it's just like driving a car. We make a decision to move over and let Him take the wheel. So the question is, when there's something happening in your life, are you in control? No. It's just that we have a different driver now. So this morning, there's a different driver this morning. There's a different driver, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit this morning. And I ask God that let the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow from this place, to pour it out. Pour it out. Let His love run over. Let His love run over you today. Lord, I just pray that You awaken each and everyone's heart this morning. Lord, fill Your people this morning with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill their need this morning. Lord, I pray that You'll revive and awaken each person's heart. Lord, let the spiritual eyes be opened, Lord God. Lord, I thank You that Your word is alive and powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts between the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, Lord God, and it exposes the innermost thoughts of our hearts. Lord, I pray that You will expose people's thoughts and hearts this morning so that You can fill it afresh with Your Holy Spirit and Your fire. Thank You, God. Pour it out this morning, Lord God. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Tony preached a powerful message on the life last week, and it's all about the Pentecost Sunday. And so I want to continue that conversation, because I believe that God is not finished with that yet, and we're going to continue conversing with that. But this morning I really felt that to speak to you about in the book of Acts. So let's go there. If you have your Bible, can I encourage you to bring your Bible? There is nothing more greater than to actually open a book. I know you guys have the technological stuff, and you've got the iPad and the, you know, and everything else, and your iPhone and your Android, whatever it is, but there's nothing so more, you know, better than just opening the book. It's not old school. It's Christianity. Before we had iPads and everything, you had the book. You had the book. So let's open it this morning, shall we? And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do that. So Acts 1-4, let's have a look at that. I'm going to talk about others this morning. The title of my message is Others. So let's have a look. In Acts 1 verse 4, it says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You know, I was reading that and marinating myself with that all this week, and I couldn't get out of it. There is something in that passage that God wanted me to speak about, and I just couldn't rest. It wasn't gelling. The things that I wanted to say this morning wasn't coming together. And then I reread again. And being the impatient person that I am, is one of the traits that I have that I'm not really entirely happy about. And God is teaching me that I need to be patient. I need to be patient. I don't like waiting. Who else loves waiting? No. But it says in Acts 4, and I want you to listen to this, do not leave Jerusalem. And I go, why Jerusalem? You know, Jerusalem is not just a physical location. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. There's that word, wait, for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. What did the Father speak about that you heard him speak about? Isn't it the gift of the Holy Spirit? So for me, he's taught me, he's teaching me. He says, Marichelle, Jerusalem is not just a physical location, but it's the state of the heart. Jerusalem, when I had a look, it says city of peace. I didn't know that. And so Jesus, when I was this in the week of just preparing this sermon, is just saying to me, Marichelle, do not leave the city of peace. Do not leave until you have peace. And this is a revelation for me. Do not leave until you have peace, but wait. Because God is wanting to say something to each and every one of us today. And if I hurried and just go, oh, yep, that's good, that's what I need to say, then God is not in control. Then God is not wanting to be able to transfer to you, to tell me and transfer to you what he wants to say. And I didn't like to wait, but I wait. And I waited. And I waited. And it didn't come till last night. And I was not in control. And I don't like not being in control. It's a scary place to be. But you know, when God's not in control, then when I'm not in control, when you're not in control, then God can take over. God wants to take over each of our life. And I believe there is a person or some of you, several here, and I really am just saying this out of the cuff, is that there are some things that you are about to do, going to do, deciding to do. And God is saying, wait. Do not do anything until you have peace. The Bible says that the peace of God that Jesus gives you is not something that the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The peace I give you is a peace that will be peaceful for you. Your hearts won't be troubled. So can I just say that on the cuff, that there are some people here today making decisions, but you are not waiting. And God wants to speak to you. Isaiah 40:31 in the translation, Passion Translation, which I also love, it says, but those who wait for Yahweh's grace, Yahweh is just another name for God, will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. Anyone feels like giving up sometimes? Yeah. Well, it says here, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In other translations, they shall mount up with wings and eagles, like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. You know, and so God is asking you to wait. There's two things that I feel God wants us to embrace afresh today, and that is to love God and love people. Well, you might say, I already do that, Maz. Like, what are you talking about? I love God. I go to church. I tithe. I, you know, serve. And I do all these things. And then I also love people. Like, I call them. I check up on them. I, you know, do things and whatever. But God wants to say to you this morning is that He wants you to embrace it afresh today. Afresh today. Revelations 2:4, it says, but, you know, he's talking about the things that, you know, Jesus saying that, like, I know what you've done. You don't tolerate evil. You don't do this, blah, blah, blah. But he said this, I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. As you did at first. And that was something, again, that we need to say, God, okay, pour it out, Lord God. Let your love run over this morning. Pastor Tony mentioned this statement last week. It says, if our baptism does not lead us to people, then it is not what Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit was not just given to us to keep for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that it can flow through us to others. It is not a gift that you need, that you just keep for yourself. It is for others. It is for others. If this does not lead us to show real love, real acceptance, real kindness and hospitality, real generosity, then we got to question ourselves, what type of witness are we? Because it says in here, in Acts 1:8, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. That is the outcome, the result of you receiving the Holy Spirit. The witnesses that I'm talking about is not just about preaching. It's not just standing on the corner and telling about Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit is very practical. It's about being practical. You're going to be practical for people, and you need the Holy Spirit for that. The whole point of the Holy Spirit is to drive you to others. The baptism in the Holy Spirit empowers us to reach others. The baptism is for power to be a witness, to shine all things Jesus to others, to reach people that are not here yet, to care for those that are here, to share with those that are struggling, to build connection, community and contribution, to live engaged with God's people, to live the God life every day, to be fully devoted to God and His church, and to hold God's church with a sense of sacredness. I saw on Facebook this week about, there's a quote and I'm going to read it to you. It says, the Holy Spirit wasted no time. He instantly empowered the church to speak effectively about Jesus beyond all sociological barriers. Spirituality never makes you unrelatable, irrelevant or detached from the world. You know, just because you have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make you irrelevant. It shouldn't make you irrelevant. It should make you relevant. That's what it is, the practical. The Holy Spirit is practical. And He's going to make you a lover of people. He's going to make you a helper of people. And He's going to show you things that you probably don't want to do. But He's going to show you those things because He wants to be practical. And that's what's attractive about the early church. When we look at the book of Acts, and if you studied it, it's what they have. This is the Spirit-empowered life, and this is what we need to pursue each and every day. And that's why God is saying to us, He needs you to embrace afresh today, not just to love God, but to love others, because that's His heartbeat. So I've got a couple of points for you this morning. Number one, Jesus did not die for religion. He died to destroy religion and empower relationship. You know, religion, as we talked about in Pastor Cheryl's giving moment, is that religion is all about rules and regulations. It's all about the tick and flick, but religion bounds you Well, God did not come. Jesus did not die for religion. He died for relationship. Religion says try harder. Relationship with Jesus says stop trying. Religion says reach up to God. Relationship with Jesus says God reaches down to us. Religion is fueled by fear and punishment. Relationship with Jesus is fueled by love and mercy. Religion says if you follow God, He will bless your life. Relationship with Jesus says if you follow God, He will give you life. You know, there's a pattern that I want you to capture here, is that the time we spend with God equals the level of power in our lives. The cost of relationship with the Holy Spirit is time. You cannot enjoy the benefits of the Holy Spirit without spending time with Him. We need to be walking with dependence with the Holy Spirit. That means when we wake up each morning and each and every day, you say, God, I can't do this by myself. When you go to work and you know there's some cranky people in your workplace, or there's some people that are not godly or whatever, that you need to say, God, I can't do this on my own. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your presence. I can't do this without you. The more I mature in my relationship with God, the more I understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and the role He plays in each of our lives. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is your helper? The Holy Spirit is your counselor. The Holy Spirit, your psychologist. The Holy Spirit is your psychiatrist. He is all that you need. He is your guide. He is your teacher. He is your comforter. When you feel like things are not what it seems and you feel like, God, I can't do this. I'm sick of this. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He will comfort you in times when you are in trouble. When your heart is not settled, He will comfort you. You know, it says here that a day without prayer is a boast against God. Any day we live without praying, we're saying that I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your strength. I don't need your forgiveness. I don't need your favor or protection. I can do it all on my own. I don't need you. That's why I'm not praying. You know, Jesus gives us just enough for a day. And I want to just encourage, if you're not praying, and this is not a condemnation, but it's a conviction for you. If you're only praying just when you need God, or when you just feel like you're in trouble, then you are in trouble. Prayer is not should be your third wheel, it should be your first wheel. Prayer, yes, it's your steering wheel. Prayer should be something that you don't have to go, oh, Lord, I just think. Like, it's not that. It's praying. It's just like talking to your friend. This is practical. Don't just go, like, thou art or whatever. It's not that. It's, God, just thank you that you've given me your Holy Spirit so that I can live in peace, so that I can live in independence of you. So if you're not praying, it takes 30 seconds to open your mouth and say, God, I need you. The Holy Spirit, you know what? He's a fresh commodity. He's a fresh commodity that we need every day. You can't hoard it. It gets stale. Have you ever hoarded something like food or something like that? Like, I know I looked in my bag the other day. It was really funny, but no, it's not funny, because there was like chips, there's chocolate that was like 3 months old. Like, not really, but you know what I mean? But I did. I did have chocolates in there, and it's like mushy down the bottom, and it's like, and I was hungry and I wanted to eat it, but I didn't think this will not be good later on. So I didn't, because you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to be fresh. Gonna be fresh every day, because what we expend it, like, you know, when we got the Holy Spirit last week, doesn't mean that we just need Him. Okay, it's Sunday. Yes, I get another dose. No, do it every day, every day. He's a fresh commodity. You have to show up every day to get it. I feel fresher. I am faithful, God is saying to you, and I want an everyday relationship with you. We need it every day because we leak. We leak. Like Pastor Tony was saying, like we leak. Each and every one of us, we leak. And, you know, there are some people, there are some problems, there's some life. Just life happens, you know. And before you know it, you start snapping at people. You start getting cranky. You start getting edgy. And you go like, God, I need you. How do I know if I have enough? When you are able to live victoriously. Like I said in Isaiah 40:31, it says, you know, they will soar like wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, when you are to be able to live and not be overwhelmed with depression, anxiety, and burnout. And I know we get all those. I'm not talking about just stuff, but I'm talking about the deeper stuff. When you don't get enough, you snap at people. You're not being godly. Your response are reactive rather than, you know, responding. And this gives you a gauge that it's time to top up. You know, I was thinking about an illustration about this sort of thing. And, you know, we all have relationship here, whether it's our spouse, friends, or mum, dad, whatever it is. But imagine, like, you know, I'm married and I have a ring on my finger and I have a marriage certificate somewhere in a filing cabinet, which I can't find. But that doesn't make me say I'm married. Like, what if I came home and not talked to my husband? What if I just gave him the silent treatment for 3 days until the resurrection came, you know? What if I just didn't think that he deserved to be spoken at or spoken to, not spoken at? What would happen then? I don't know. Try it. See what comes up. And that's the same for our relationship with God. Is that we need to be talking to him every day. I got another story for you. Petrol. I'm the sort of person that kind of leaves, this is confession time, that leaves kind of petrol right to the last, like, dregs in their car. Who does that? Before I got married, like, and because Daryl being a mechanic, he always says to me, Maz, don't leave your petrol just right down to the dregs, right? Because it wrecks your engine, apparently. And that's right? I'm saying this right. And I said, yep, okay, so, you know, I learned from my lesson and I turned from my wicked ways and I, you know, but this week it came back. Like my old habits came back. And I was just like thinking, okay, like, and I was going, okay, I'm going to lay hands on the car. And Lord, I pray that you would help me just get back. I know there's 38. Yes, I can get to school to Rochdale and I can come back to work and it'll be enough because I was calculating. And I go, oh, I really need to get petrol. But I didn't. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll do it when I go out and get the mail or something or do the banking. But lo and behold, this week, this day, this particular day, Pastor Tony had a visitor, and it's Pastor John Rewald, and he was here and whatever, and so let's all go out to lunch, and okay, and Maz, we can use your car, and I go, okay, and I was thinking, I wonder if I got enough petrol, I was murmuring myself, and so Daryl, you know, went and drove, and we had our lunch, and I'm thinking, and Daryl noticed, Maz, you don't have enough petrol in the car. And you can't even see the gauge, like how many is in here? And like, you know, the pastor's at the back of my car and think, oh no, don't embarrass me. But like I was going, well, I don't know, maybe we can, maybe we can lay hands on the car. Maybe we can just pray to God until, I said, no, you're not going to be able to make it. I said, look, it'll be fine, all right? It'll be okay. Long story short. We were able to go back and get some petrol in the car. But don't test, you know, that, like, it's just funny because I was going, you know, God doesn't want the dregs. God doesn't want you to be using the dregs of your own wisdom, your own thoughts and everything like that. He wants you to keep filling up. Keep filling up. And if there's anything that you got out of that, not because I'm too lazy to get to the petrol station, I want you to know that God wants to fill you, is what I'm saying. Second point. Let's move on, eh? Jesus did not die for a self-fulfilled life. He died for a selfless life. Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4. Let's read it from the Message Bible. It says, if you have gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Here it is. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. You know where it says agree with each other? Just dawned on me. Don't agree with stupidity. Okay? Like it says, deep-spirited friends and love each other. If you're going to love your friends, look them in the eye and tell them that what they're doing is not right. If you love someone enough, you will talk to them about the things that they're doing that are not godly. We're not asking you to agree with everything that they do. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk. And that's such a, you know, a practical way of putting it together. You know, there are two worlds that are opposite. Our world is driven by selfish principles. Our world is all about us. You know, we are told to look after number one, and our world is the selfish ways, where the kingdom of God is all about selflessness. It's about saying God's world is driven by selfless principles. His world is all about others. God's world is all about looking after other people, and God's world is a selfless world. You know, the greatest example is Jesus, right? Living for others. He was sent to serve others. He was sent to reach others. He was sent to die for others. He died thinking of others. He died with others. He died for others. He rose from the dead for others. He prays and intercedes for others. Question. When was the last time you thought about others? Genuinely and not intentionally, where you thought about how we can build others. Not just stopped at the thought, oh yeah, I thought about that, and not do anything about it. You know, your actions speak louder than your words or your thoughts. You know, in my house, in our house, we have spare things for other people. We used to have a spare room to have other people come and stay over, but we have a spare lounge, like you can just go and... We have plenty of mattresses. I got about 4 single mattresses. I don't know who I'm waiting, but there are 4 mattresses in there. Spare cutlery, spare plates, spare chairs. My table, there's only 4 of us, but you can sit 12 in there. It's like the 12 disciples. I have spare food. I've got 3 full cupboards, pantries of food that I've hoarded. No, not really. They're really fresh food because I've cleaned them. I have spare towels. I have spare clothes. Not that you'd probably fit in my clothes, but... I have things in my house that are not for me or for us or for the children, but I have it for other people, because when I know something, this is part of my strategy, is that when you come and I know you want something and I know you're coming, it's there. Oh, do you have like a decaf tea or decaf coffee? It's there. And I don't drink coffee. Do you have this? It's there. But like, it's others. Let's be otherly minded. Let's be otherly minded. The heart of God is for people. His heart bleeds for people. It breaks for people. You know, it's not a building, but it's a place. It's about people. It's not a building or a ministry or it's building God's church. It's not about a status or making a name for yourself or being a success, but it's all about others. People will often ask these questions, how do I make a difference? Look, I'm just bored with my life. What do I do to just, you know, spice things up? How do I find purpose? How do I find fulfillment or joy? What can I do every day? Can I encourage you? This is what you need to do, right? Simple. Reduce your life and take two steps daily. One towards God and one towards people. That's what you do. One towards God and one towards people. Let us not be so busy. And I know we live busy lives. I live busy lives. I just like can't even scratch my hair. But we live busy. But let not our busyness stop us from thinking about others. Let us be noticing other people. Let us be acknowledging people. And let us be like, I have a friend that texts me every day. Every day at 5:30 or sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning. And like, yes, she thinks about me every day. And I wonder, who's in your corner? Who's your go-to? And I know we have the Holy Spirit, but practicality. You know, if you want a friend, be a friend. When Jesus becomes the lens of our life, the focus becomes simple. Love God, love others. Don't make it complicated. Don't change this order, because I found that when we change this order, before we can love others, we need the love of God. It is God's love that fuels us, that empowers us to love and live for others. You know, some people can make the mistake of changing this order, and so you wonder why you get snappy and you get irritable, resentful, because there is no empowering. We try and love and care and share in our own strength. We were designed by God to live under the power of the Holy Spirit and not of our own power. And in Zechariah 4:6 it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Can I encourage you to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit? Matthew 25:35, it says here, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You know, when Jesus, when you come and meet Jesus face to face, he's going to ask you this question in your final analysis. Did you live for others? We will be judged by this fact. Did we help the poor? Did we help? Did we visit the sick? Did we visit those in prison? Did we rescue people? Others are the defining issue. If it matters to God, and it should matter to us, others is how we will be judged. And that means it's just it's God sees this as an important thing. Who are these others, you may ask? People just like us, all around us. The people next door in your house, they live in our street, city, nation, our world. They come in all shapes, sizes, and age and color. They are single, married, divorced, single again. They are successful, poor, employed, unemployed. They are people that are despised and marginalized, people that are popular and powerful. Let us not limit or confine others by the people in our vicinity. You know, COVID taught us to shut our doors and just isolate ourselves. I don't think that that's God's heart. That just because we have to shut our doors doesn't mean you shut your heart. Doesn't mean you shut your hands. You know, we've been talking about living an open and expansive life where you have, you know, a generous heart and a generous hand, a generous home. We talk about those things. Third point, last point, is that Jesus did not die for some to have life. He died for all to have life. You know, when Jesus died, the flame didn't go out. He died so that the flame goes on. Is your flame on? Is your flame still burning brightly? If it's not, then I encourage you to flame on, to get the Holy Spirit in you. Flame on means in the day of Pentecost, fire was resting on each person's head. And this represented the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk about in Matthew, that scripture there is that others are worth the search. Jesus said he came and seek to save that which was lost. The thing about others is that they hide from us. Our job is to go find them, to seek them. His mission is to seek and save the lost. He's in the business of a search and rescue mission. Jesus is working through us to reach this world. Will you be part of the mission? You know, what do we do when we just like feel like, well, I can't find anyone? Open your eyes. There's people in your workplace. There's people that you know that do not know God. That do not know God. You know, I heard this thing. It says hell is a real place and nice and naughty people go there. How much do I have to hate someone to not share the good news? How much do we have to hate someone to not share our faith? You know, we can't judge the value of the search on the basis of the result. It will cost you money. It will cost you time and your effort. It will be exhausting and demanding. It will be inconvenient. But it will be worth it. You know, in the Ask Me desk, there's these cards. I think it's called Invite. I think we need to get back as a church. We need to start inviting people back. We need to be inviting people back. There's these invite cards that are there. Get a couple of, put it in your wallet and invite people, start sharing your faith, because what's in you should come out. The good news that you receive, the salvation that you receive, the forgiveness that you receive, don't you think that is worth sharing? The grace that you receive, the love, the mercy that you receive, don't you think that that's worth sharing with other people? Let's be a church that gets back to the basic and actually start inviting people. And before you do that, then ask God, identify your person. There's got to be one, come on. Identify that person. Talk to God about your person. Then invest your time, your money, your effort, and invite them. Whether they join our church or not, it's irrelevant. It's not about this church, it's about the church. We will help people that will never receive Christ. We will help people that may never come to our church. Does that mean that we stop talking? You know, I'm thankful for the people that donate in our charity, Impact Care Services, which you don't know, may or may not know. That's the charity arm of this church. And we have a food co-op there. And it helps people, you know, down and out people, whether they're well, whether they're rich, whatever, they're poor, they are there. And if you haven't been there, I'd encourage you to go there, see Pastor Darrell. But you don't know the amount of people that are in there that actually ask for help. Not beyond the groceries. They say, look, I can't pay my bills. I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And as a church, we're able to do that. Now, they don't come to this church. Some of them do, but some are outsiders, and we're able to help them. Does that mean that we have a clause? Okay, if we help you, then you must come here. No, they may never know Christ, and that's okay, Because it's all about others. God is asking us to help other people. Jesus bled and is bleeding for a lost world. And I wonder where your heart is for that. So I wrap things up. It's in Hebrews 10:23. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us. So what is that hope that lives within you? The Holy Spirit. Knowing that God always keeps His promises, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works and expression of love. This is what I want to tell you guys. This is not a time to pull away. If I can have the worshiper come, please. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day coming. Jesus is coming back. Whether you like it or not, He is coming back. And He says here, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day coming. You know what we're going to do as a church? Sometime soon, we're going to hold what we're going to do is called Presence Nights. Where we're just going to open a night, maybe on a Wednesday night, where we would just ask people to come and worship and pray, speak in tongues, whatever. But it's to get that hunger back. It's the presence of God in you that will make a difference for you to be a difference to other people. So that's a preliminary statement, announcement for you. We're going to have what's called the Presence Nights, where we're just going to bow before God and just, God, just do with it. We need your Holy Spirit presence. That's what we're going to do. And to promote the gathering again, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take steps. As of the 1st of July, the first Sunday of July, we are not going to have a live online service. But what we will have, please don't freak out on the online family. What we will have is going to record the preaching and the worship in the end. And that's going to be uploaded that afternoon. So you don't entirely miss out. But we're going to say to you that not only do we need people to be in that, but we need to have a sustainable approach about all this. Is that we can't burn people up there, burn out people out there. We are not a consumer-driven church. We are the church of Jesus Christ, that if you really are hungry enough, you will find ways to get here. And I understand there are some people that cannot get here, and that is fine, and we understand that. But I think it's, as you know, in that scripture where it says that we need to find creative ways, but there are like people that has formed the habit of not coming. We need to stop the bad habit. Jesus did not die for you to have bad habits. So that's what we're going to do. And I'm really, really excited because God is trying to stir in the people's hearts and mind that you need me. You cannot do life without me. And I think for this message as today, and I know it's different for me to preach this way, but I believe God is stirring your heart. God is stirring your heart and your spirit to come back to your first love, to come back the way you once you did before, and to come back and to reach people. Because at the end of the day, others is what matters to God. for this day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit presence. You know, Jesus spared no expense when he reached you. Think of the ways he used people. He used any ways and means to get through to you. You know, I am here today because someone cared enough to speak to Jesus, to speak to me about Jesus. And I'll be forever grateful. And some of us may have grown up in a Christian home, may have grown up and you're just all good and sweet and whatever, but you know, you being a follower, a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, just because your parents have, you got to get your own faith. You got to get your own revelation. And the way you do that is by spending with God. I remember, you know, when Jesus tried to woo me back, you know, he gave everything. And right now, he gave everything for each and every one of us. He used people to reach out to us. He opened doors that are for us to draw closer to him. God turned every stone to make it happen for you because God loves you. God loves you. And God wants you to live for him. Will you? Will you? Can we just stand in this place? I don't know where you are at in your relationship with God, but I do know one thing, is that God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get your attention in ways that you might have think uncomfortable, or he uses people that might not be your cup of tea, but will speak to you about Jesus. And he's just saying, I love you. And I want to have an everyday relationship with you. Not just a Sunday relationship. Not just an online relationship. But I want a relationship with you where you get to eat with me at the table every day. Where I get to tell you about wisdom. About things that you need to for your daily life. This morning. People are hungry, Lord. People are hungry to meet you, Lord God. I pray you fill them. This morning, if you feel that you want to get a refreshing touch of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. I invite you to come and just stand here. We're going to open the altar and, you know, and we're going to pray. We don't necessarily have to lay hands on you, but we're going to pray for you, with you. God wants to speak to you today. Let me just lean in and just sing this song. It's one of the old songs, but it's simple. It just says, I need you more. Why don't we do that?